and welcome to the second episode of the new and, we like to believe, improved edition of the EuroHoopPod, the official podcast or vidcast by EuroHoops. This is Antonis Strogilakis. I'm once again here with my great colleague, Cesare Milanti. And with us, we have no other than, you can see him, Tsima Moneke, the 2022 Basketball Champions League MVP, former All-Basketball Champions League team member, all SCB member, now a player of Baskonia. Tsima, hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for being here, Tsima. Now, Tsima Moneke, I assume that I said that right, because you have some complaints.
Oh, my goodness. I think it's pretty obvious how to say my name, but some commentators struggle with that. I don't know why. It's not Monica. It's Tsima Moneke. So
I was discussing this with Cesare before. I'm saying it's pretty obvious. It's, you say what you read. Tsima Moneke. It shouldn't be
Moneke,
hard.
Yeah. Some people, I guess the guy doesn't know me. I think it's kind of disrespectful. But yeah. He's gotta learn how to say my name.
Yeah, and they really have to learn how do you say your name, especially now. I mean, even people who weren't aware of you before, and I find it hard to believe why someone wasn't aware of you before. Because okay, if someone is watching only EuroLeague, you arrived in EuroLeague last season with Monaco, and now with Baskonia. You are actually leading the team in scoring so far, six games into the season, 70 points per game, more than 70 points per game, 70.2. Now, I got to be honest with you, Tsima. If someone before the season began told me that Tsima Moneke would lead Baskonia in scoring six games into the season, I would call him a madman or something similar. Not because I underestimate your abilities, it's because we haven't been used to seeing you doing this on the floor. We are used to seeing you becoming, you know, a defensive master for some teams, you know, being a rebounding force, but not the leading scorer. So how has that happened?
I think in Manresa, I was the leading scorer over there, if I'm not mistaken. But I just, you know, I'm efficient. I pride myself on being efficient offensively. And I'm a player that doesn't like to be in a box. You know I can contribute at a high level. My confidence is high this year. My motivation is even higher. You know, like you said, just to prove a lot of people wrong, because I know how good of a player I am, and I know that I'm getting better. And yeah, you know, I'm happy with how I've started, but you know, I just want to win more games. That's what I care about the most, and I want to be out there, you know, in the moments that matter the most, so I can help my team win.
And you said it yourself, the Baskonia season so far has been a kind of a roller coaster like this. You haven't managed to, even after the win against the Partizan, which was an important win, then you fall to Gran Canaria in ACB. And it has been like that throughout the season overall. You don't manage to celebrate a win because then you lose a game. Why it has been like that in your opinion, and how do you handle this?
Young team, new team, a lot of new players, a lot of injuries, new coach. I mean, there's a lot of reason. You know, the good thing about it is it's only November. Things will get better. Yeah. Every team goes through adversity throughout the season, and we had ours straight away. So it's up to us to bounce back and to figure it out, to learn from these moments, and to stay healthy. And I feel like things will come together, and you know, we'll be thankful for these hard moments.
And like as Antoni said, that win against Partizan was needed, was important for you guys. You had the go out free throws at the end, being clutch and leading the team to the victory. And we saw that thing with James Nunnally. To be honest, is something that I don't really see like live, the trash talking part. Like, it's part of the game, we know it, but mostly it's kind of a private thing between the players. You don't see it like being shown on the record in television. Mm-hmm. So do you have those kind of occasions in the past as well, like important trash talking moments during a game with an opponent that kind of pushed you
I think this is my most memorable moment because of EuroLeague, because of it was at the end of the game, and because it was trash talk, but it was friendly, it was competitive, and it was, you know, it was trash talk that I encouraged. You know, a lot of trash talk in the past has been, you know, maybe heated or less respectful, you know, more bad words, I would say. And at the end of the day, for me, majority of the time, I leave it on the basketball court because I want everyone to be healthy. I want everyone to compete. And, you know, in this situation, it was they decided to come up to me because they were reviewing the time and I was at the free throw line, and it's a big moment. I would have done the same thing. I would have done the same thing. Maybe a little bit differently, but I would have tried to, you know, distract the guy, tell him that he was going to miss the free throws, and that's what they did, or that's what they tried to do, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
You said in an interview that you made a bet with James Nunnally and Zach Ledé actually about it. Now, please tell me that it's for real and you were joking, that it is indeed a bet, and it's indeed about a monthly salary.
Yeah, so I saw his tweet saying that he didn't make a bet. I mean, he was saying I'm going to miss the free throw. I said, I'm not going to miss the free throw. I said, we could bet on it. He said, yeah, we would like to bet on it. But obviously, this is not a bet where I'm like, yo, you need to pay me the bet or else I'm going to get upset.
Yeah, of course. This Regardless of the gesture that you made.
Yeah, this was yo, I bet you I'm going to make the shot. We can bet whatever you want to bet on it. He said, yeah, we'll bet whatever. I said, all right, your monthly salary. He said, yeah, I'm cool with that. And then that's when Zach LaDay starts smiling and nodding his head. And then that's why after I made it, I said, I'm coming to collect the bet as a joke, as a friendly thing. And then I started doing the money sign. I don't know why I would lie about that. All of that was documented. And it's like, it's not like I'm going to come to Serbia and be like, yo, I need my money. I'm just saying that's what the bet was. You know, I don't want to take their money. You know, I'm happy with how much money I'm getting, so, and I'm happy with the win.
Well, if they don't give you their money, maybe you can, you know, send some guys to them. I'm just joking, of course. So nothing like that.
No. I don't move like that. Don't worry.
And leaving, talking about money, actually, there was one guy that got tons of money during his career, which is Luis Scola, of course, being such a legendary player for all the teams that he went to. And he was especially a prominent figure in Baskonia from 2000 to 2007, leading the team to Final Fours, ACB titles, and stuff like that. Before the game against Partizan, it was his jersey was retired. Would you like in the future to establish yourself in a club in such a similar fashion? Like, is it a dream of yours having a jersey retired? Because for some players, it's actually a dream. Like, it's actually something they want to achieve during their career.
1,000%, 1,000%. I was saying this actually in that moment. I was saying it to Marcus that that's something I want. You know, I've achieved everything that I want to achieve except for two things. I want to win a EuroLeague title, and I want to get my jersey retired wherever it will make the most sense. You know, to have a moment like that to celebrate with your family, to celebrate your achievements and your accomplishments, I think it's incredible. You know, that'll last forever, even when he's gone. And yeah, I think win a EuroLeague title and have my jersey retired, you know, those are the last two things I want to do. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the game with the win over Partizan. The Luis Scola jersey retirement was also the first game with Dusko Ivanovic and without Juan Penaroya. After it was officially announced that Penaroya is out of the team, you tweeted, "This business is unfortunate, a really good person, and that's what I care about the most, good luck coach." Were you surprised to see him out?
I mean, I think everyone heard the rumors for, you know, a week or two before it happened. I was surprised that about the rumors, you know, as a player, you know, I came and this is the first time I've played on the team that's fired the coach during the season. So, you know, yeah, it was surprising. And I think the what makes it even more sad is just the way he handled himself throughout the whole situation was very, very incredible. Very, he was very professional. You know, he would address it and be like, listen, you know, it's a tough time, but, you know, I'm still going to come to work. And I admire that so much. You know, for me, this is basketball. And, you know, as a coach, you can be good at X's and O's. But for me as a player, I need a coach that is a good person as well. And Peñarroya was that. You know, he's an incredible person. He's a great guy. And I genuinely wish him the best.
That was impressive also because after the rumor started appearing, everyone was bombarding him with questions. It wasn't they weren't asking him so many questions about game specifics or what happened in this game and what happened in the other game. They were always asking him about his future, and he handled it with a very great way, as you said.
Yeah, he was incredible the whole time. Every time he lost the game in that period, they asked him about it, and his answer was the same. And then he came to work as if nothing happened, and he was coaching as if he would be there the whole time. You know, so yeah, all my respect to John.
Yeah.
Now, there's Dusko Ivanovic on board, and I know that you are right after a practice with the team. And this practice is also in the aftermath of the home loss to Gran Canaria. Now, what's your take? I know that it's too soon. He has a week. It's a week, something more like that, with Dusko Ivanovic on board. What's your take on him so far? What are your first impressions of him? And what's your take on Dusko Ivanovic's practices? Because there is a notoriety behind them on how tough they are, on how physical they are.
I don't know what his practices were like before, but yeah, they're long, but especially because he just got here, we need to learn the plays and we need to do the plays longer than maybe normal. I don't know, because it's still early, but yeah, we compete. You have to be in shape. You have to love basketball to like enjoy getting through practices. And I love basketball and I love playing. And I get in better shape. So for me, I don't really have any problems or complaints. When he walks in the room, he commands a lot of respect and he commands a lot of, you know, attention, and he's very businesslike with his methods. And to me, I don't really have any problems with that. Yeah, it's early, but yeah, I'm fine with how he coaches. And yeah, I just want to do my best to show him that he can count on me more. You know, that's all.
And like moving a little bit away of the Baskonia topic, right after you signed with Monaco back in the beginning of the year, we called for an interview on Euroopes.net, and you said, you know, after what happened with Sacramento, with the whole thing there in the NBA, I want to stay for a long time in a team, to establish myself in a team and actually to find my way in a certain club. Of course, we know that experience with Monaco lasted only a few months, and then you decided to come to Baskonia. Can you drive us through those months, actually? And why did you decide to sign for Baskonia?
I left Sacramento, and then I came to a situation where I thought I would play more and help the team more, and it, you know, it didn't turn out that way.
Were you expecting more straight from the beginning, or is it something that changed like throughout the experience?
No, I mean, I remember watching, they played Partizan at Partizan, and I remember watching that game, and I had a feeling that I was coming to Monaco. And I was watching the team, and I thought I could come in and play 15, 20 minutes a game on that team. And, the coach didn't really like me. So that's my experience ended up being not what I wanted it or expected it to be. I had a contract for this year, and the coach told my agent in early July that he didn't want me back, and if I was on the team, he wouldn't play me. Because I wasn't his type of player. So it wasn't my decision to leave. I thought I was still going to be there, but it worked out really well because if I went there, I wouldn't have been playing and I would have been frustrated and people would have just thought I'm not a good player. So I'm happy that I get to prove myself, but I'm also pissed off because of the situation. And yeah, it's a big part of my motivation for this season to just be wanted again and just to prove that, you know, I'm one of the best players, especially at my position in EuroLeague.
As you said also other times in the past, and you just said that, you want to feel that you are wanted in a team. And in the first experience you had professionally in Rouen, in the second division in France, you were cut, if I'm not mistaken, 3 games into the season. So what was that about? Like, what was like for you having your first year with the team in your professional career being stopped after only 3 games? What did you feel like in those moments?
Yeah, that was my lowest moment as a professional, and it happened, 3 games into my season. We had 6 foreigners, and at my position, we had 2. So I knew that going into the season, I was like, this may be a problem. You know, I was the only one that was a rookie. And yeah, the coach there didn't watch my tape. He didn't know what type of player I was. And then, you know, when I got there, he wanted me to play a different type of way. And ultimately, he just, he didn't like me either. So he told me that they didn't need me. And I had to practice with them for 6 weeks. And it was just, I think the biggest problem was I thought I should be playing or could be playing in the NBA at some point. And then for me to get cut from a second division team, it made me question myself a little bit, just for a few minutes, a few days, a few moments. And then, I snapped back out of it. And I just said it was a bad situation. I'm not a bad player. So I had to find my confidence through playing. And I did when I went to my next team in Dunno.
Yeah.
Simon, you talked about disrespect and sometimes feeling disrespected from some coaches, maybe from fans, maybe from media, I don't know. I want to take you through something similar that happened in 2021, a bit before the Olympic Games, with the Nigerian national team. You are a member of that team.
You're already smiling, right, Chima?
Yeah.
A lot of bad moments. Okay, go ahead.
You were a member of that team that beat Team USA in an exhibition game. And that was a major surprise, even if it was an exhibition game. And there was a famous journalist. Okay, I don't have a problem mentioning his name. It was Stephen A. Smith. And I'm sure you noticed. Yeah, you're laughing already. And he was acting like the definition of disrespect, in my book at least. He was mocking the names of Nigerian players, acting like he doesn't know some of them, even though many of them played in the NBA, and I'm sure he's heard their name correctly and knew who were that about. How did you feel when the whole thing started? When you hear such a prominent member of the media, a journalist, who is influential in his position, because he has a lot of followers and many people follow what he says and what he talks about. How do you feel when he talks about your team members like that?
Yeah, I remember we all like sent it in the group chat and we're all just talking about it. But I think more on the personal side, the way he was pronouncing the names, just as a human being and as a journalist, like, do your research and like try to pronounce the names correctly. Don't say it in a mocking way. That's the only thing I really took disrespectfully, just the way the lack of interest in pronouncing our names right and like the way he said it. But I mean, to the casual fans going into the game, they expected us to lose by 30, and that's okay. You know, we had a lot of NBA talent. We had a lot of guys who weren't in the NBA, myself at the time included, that can play with a lot of guys in the world. So to the casual fans, if you have someone that is Kevin Durant versus someone that doesn't play in the NBA, you would think that team would win, you know, every time. But basketball, there's a lot of talent outside of the NBA, and You know, we saw it this past summer with the World Cup, NBA talent losing games and things like that. There's a lot of talent in the world. There's just not enough space in the NBA. But yeah, a lot of guys can play in the NBA in the right situation. So just be more mindful of that. That's all.
What's the situation with the Nigerian national team now? Because there was a bad 2 year stretch, and you're smiling, and that's not a good smile, I think.
No, yeah, no comment on Nigeria. I wish them the best with that, but nah, it's just bad. Especially like I said, no comment, but I'm gonna make a comment. But yeah, after the USA game, everything just went downhill for a lot of reasons, and now. You know, I just have no interest in playing for Nigeria again, which is very sad and very unfortunate, but it is what it is. It's okay.
Do you feel that, from what you are saying, I can assume that you are not the only player who feels that way from that team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I won't get into the details of that because maybe we can talk about some more fun things. I want to ask you something about Epe Udo. One of your teammates who had a short EuroLeague run, but as successful as it can be. Final Four MVP, won the EuroLeague, and that also earned him, I don't know if that was that earned him the ticket back to the NBA, it was his overall performance that season. Do you keep contact with him, and did you talk with him before moving to Monaco about EuroLeague, etc.?
Yeah, great guy. We talk. And I talked to him. I remember I ran into him in summer league. You know, he's a coach now. And I saw him, and yeah, whenever he has words of encouragement for me or words of advice, he reaches out. Whenever I have anything for him, you know, I reach out. But he's just a great person, a great veteran. And yeah, his run with Fener was incredible. What he did there was amazing. But in terms of advice before coming to Monaco, no, I think. We talked about, I think I told him that I was going back, and you know, he understands the journey because he was in the NBA and had to take a detour to get back. And you know, but no, in terms of that moment, we didn't speak about anything. But he's someone that I look up to dearly, and you know, I have a great relationship with him,
yeah. And talking about people with whom you may have a closer contact or closer relationship. Right now you're leading your team in scoring, and there's a friend of you who's leading his team in assists per game in the Euro Cup, steals per game in the Euro Cup, one of the best scorers of the whole Euro Cup, which is TJ Short. After what he done with Bonn, right now is dominating with Paris. So what do you think about his season now, and what do you think is the upside for him in the future? Maybe playing with you, maybe?
I mean,
is a team that accommodates a lot of guards. Many guards that started in EuroLeague made a name for themselves in Vitoria. There's a long history. Shane Larkin, Darius Thompson last year, he earned that contract in FS Vitoria. Baskonia has a history of bringing guards in EuroLeague and, you know, making them help them elevate to the next level.
Right, Mike James, Bill Dozier. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And on. But yeah, TJ is my actual absolute best friend in the world. Like, it's we have a Snapchat streak that's over 5 years now. It's like, it's crazy. But you know, I'm not surprised by anything he's doing. To me, he's the best player in Europe that's not in EuroLeague, and I'm probably biased, but I feel like he should be in EuroLeague this season. But you know, the coach went from Bonn to Paris, and it was a comfortable situation, and Paris is trying to go to EuroLeague, so it makes a lot of sense for him to be there. But yeah, I think he's going to be MVP in France and in Euro Cup. You know, I watch all of the games that I can of his. If I'm not busy, I'm watching his games. We're FaceTiming after, we're sending each other Snapchats and messages, and yeah, like, it would be amazing to play with him. But you know, I want him to be focused on his journey.
Yeah.
If his journey isn't meant to be playing together, then I wouldn't mind, you know, beating him whenever he comes to EuroLeague, and that'll be hopefully probably next season. So we'll see.
Well, Paris have set the foundations. You know, the EuroCup format is tricky with these knockout games, but you know, if Paris wins the EuroLeague, then TJ is in EuroLeague, essentially, yeah. With Paris, yeah. Maybe. So for I sure. have one last question to make to you about Baskonia before we move into some flash cues. Vitoria, they love their basketball. They love the basketball. They have a historic club, a big club. They are passionate about their team. And you have been a player who was always feeding off the passion of the fans. We saw it. We really saw it in Manresa. You're an energetic player. You get the energy from the crowd. You add your energy. And this creates a great mixture on the floor. So what can you tell us about how do you fit? How do you do that also in Vitoria? And the way Baskonia fans also help you?
Yeah, I mean, that's just me, naturally. I feel like if you're paying your money to come and see basketball, you want to be entertained and you want to come back. And I feel like I want to give the fans a reason to come back every time. And, you know, the fans have been amazing. The fans have supported me. And I just want to give them more wins and continue to be myself. I always play hard whenever I'm out there. I make mistakes, but you know, I always give 100% of my effort, even when I'm hurt. I play, and the fans appreciate that, and I'm super grateful for it. And another thing I love about the fans is, like, if they see me out on the street, see me doing grocery shopping, or see me on the phone or driving or something, they are really respectful and they say hello, but they make sure they're not like bothering me. And I love them so much because, yeah, I'm a human being too. And, you know, sometimes I want to just be quiet. You know, I'm not always loud and annoying. Sometimes I just want to chill. So they understand that, and I love them for it.
Yeah, I have to ask you this. Did the guy who made your latest tattoo recognize you?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, he knows who I am. Yeah, before I got my tattoo, he knew who I was.
I asked because Vitoria is a basketball city, but there are some people who don't care at all about sport, basketball, football, or anything. So for him, you were another guy who wants just to get a tat, and not player of our hometown.
He knows who I am.
Okay, Chima, let's sum it up with some just flash cue. Just like we did with Malcolm Delaney in the first episode, we would like you to make some predictions. We are mostly interested in, like, the MVP for the regular season of the EuroLeague and the teams that you think will make it to the Final Four.
Ooh, MVP of the EuroLeague. I mean, things can change, but Shengelia looks good. Shengelia looks good right now, and they're winning a lot of games. Obviously, Mirotić has the highest PIR, but they're not winning too many games right now. So things could change. Mike James is always a name that you got to consider. I think if I had to bet on a name, it'll be Mike, because okay. I think Monaco will finish higher than Bologna at the end of the season. So I would bet on Mike James winning MVP.
Okay.
And the thing, the MVP is that you have to make the Final Four to be named the EuroLeague MVP. There hasn't been an MVP without his team making the Final Four. So you have to take in this into consideration as well.
Yeah, I don't like that either. They should announce that before the playoffs start. But yeah, I mean, that makes my pick even better because, you know, yeah, Monaco, I think Real Madrid is the best team in EuroLeague by far. And then I think after that, it's like you just don't know. But I wasn't sure. I thought they had too much talent, you know, Monaco. But I think because of how every other team is looking, I think I would have them in the Final Four right now. So that'll make my pick of Mike winning MVP better.
All right.
Yeah.
Two votes for Mike James so far. And this is not surprising, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You said eventually Monaco to the Final Four. Do you have any other names? Like,
yeah, Madrid first. Monaco will be in there. Oh, Yeah, this season is tricky, man. This season is,
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a team this season that no one will expect to be in there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tricky. Madrid, Monaco.
We're challenging you.
Great so far, despite changing
Barcelona, yes, Barcelona is playing great. Valencia is playing great. But I just feel like this season, something different will happen. So I'm
okay.
gonna go out on the limb and say Bologna.
Wow.
I could be really super wrong.
Ooh.
Bologna, Madrid, Monaco, and Baskonia. Let's
Okay.
go.
You
Let's go.
can't not choose your team. It would be
Of
wrong.
course,
It would be
you
wrong.
guys picked
So
Malcolm Delaney was the first guest. He doesn't have a team, so he
wrong.
made his. Obviously, I'm picking my team. Come on, guys.
Now, just to ask a quick question before we say the farewell, just give us a small comment if you can about the upcoming game against Olympiacos.
Yeah, so next game is at Olympiacos. Always a tough place to play. I haven't played there yet. But talented team. That's a team that beat me and my team last season to get to the finals. So yeah. There's nothing personal, but I just want to go out there and continue to play well and help the team win. I respect them and I respect the organization that they have, and it's going to be a tough game, so yeah,
You
got
said
to be ready for it.
it's nothing personal because of what happened last season, I assume. In
Yeah,
the
because the Olympiacos fans always, like, there was some people still message me or comments and say
Even
2018.
now, even now, you're
Oh, I
playing
mean,
at
yeah,
Monaco. There are
like,
so many months after this game. How come they message you even now?
I don't know. I don't take it personal.
Okay.
But yeah, they still, I forget the score of the second quarter. It was 27-2 or 27,
Yeah, something like
whatever. I think it was 27-2, but like I will get those comments, I'll get those DMs sometimes, and I'm probably gonna get some more after me just saying it
that. I
now. But
want to clarify, so please, you still get messages by Olympiacos fans. Okay, I know they're passionate, but it seems crazy for me that you still get the messages.
yeah, I mean, it was a historic third quarter. Obviously, we were on,
Historic third quarter, the big win for them, a comeback win.
yeah, we were on the wrong side of it. But yeah, for me, it's not personal. They played better that day, and yeah, I don't have any problems with them or the Serbian fans either.
Sima, thank you so much for being with us in the second episode of the podcast. It was
No
great
problem.
talking to you. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You are a beacon of positive attitude, man. It's amazing your smile, the way you talk. It's lovely talking to you.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Stay tuned.
So that was Tsima Moneke, the guest for our second episode of the Eurohoop Pod. Baskonia faces Olympiacos on the road. It's the first game of the next round of EuroLeague Thursday. So good luck, Tsima, and farewell. Safe
Thank you.
travels.
See you, Shima.
Later. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Now, after Tsima Moneke, Cesare will have to proceed to the EuroLeague action that we have this week. Round seven, plenty of games before the double game week. And we begin with Tsima's game, Baskonia visiting Olympiacos. It's the first game of the week, or Olympiacos hosting Baskonia, what in any way you might want to call it. Then we have Anadolu Efes against Žalgiris Kaunas, Maccabi against Bayern Munich, Partizan versus Fenerbahce, Milano against Valencia, Real Madrid against Virtus. Way too many games on Thursday, and we have just three matches on Friday. We have Alba Berlin against Panathinaikos, Barcelona Cervena Zvezda, and the French Derby, Monaco against ASVEL. Now, Cesare, if I have to ask you, pick three games this week that are must-watch television, not necessarily for because we might have a spectacular game, we might have the star players in this game, we might expect big performances. It might be because the teams might need the result, because we might see close battles, because there are some special figures dominating each game. So if you have to pick three games that are the games of the week, What games are they?
You talked about special figures who are dominating the game, and we cannot start by not mentioning Toko Şengelya, MVP of October, best player probably in EuroLeague next to Mike James at the moment, and
some would say Toko first, James second, but yeah, close.
Yeah, and Virtus and Toko are visiting Real Madrid. Real Madrid didn't play against Maccabi. The game was postponed last week. And Real Madrid is the only undefeated team at the moment, with, of course, one game less, but still undefeated. And this is probably
undefeated. Sorry to say, undefeated in general. They haven't lost in an official game anywhere.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. And Virtus will have to face Real Madrid to keep on possibly surprising everybody. It's definitely the toughest challenge for Luka Banki's team so far. But they had a pretty solid game, pretty solid performance against Anadolu Efes, with once again Toko Şengelya shining, once again Marco Bellinelli doing the little things coming off the screens, Jordan Miki another impressive game at the five position, and that's going to be interesting because, you know, Jordan Miki has played for Real Madrid in the past, so he's visiting his former team. Eddie Tavares is not playing his best basketball, let's be honest. Poirier is stepping up for Real. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if actually Luka Banki's team can defeat the monster at the moment in the EuroLeague. And also, Virtus is coming off its first loss in the Italian league against amazing Cremona in the weekend. And so yeah, that's my definitely the pick, like my first pick for the best game of the week. Another impressive showdown will be the French Derby, as you said, Monaco hosting as well. I saw live Monaco playing in Milano, and to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of this team at the moment. They are 4-2 in the standings, but I think they're still they still need more impressive performances in terms of shooting from its big men.
I would say, Cesar, that this is a controversial opinion that you might have you know, many people think the obvious thing that Monaco has won four straight. So,
yeah.
Okay, it's a 4-2 record, but they have been constantly improving. I mean, at least when it comes to results, Mike James has been playing MVP caliber basketball. So why do you feel that way?
I feel that way because I do believe that in this EuroLeague, you should have at least two big men who can shoot the ball from beyond the arc. And at the moment, Monaco's five are not in that category. We're talking about Dimo, Jaite, and Donta Hall. And Peter Corneli, we know that he has been playing well in the French league, but against Milano, he wasn't delivering from deep. And if Peter Corneli can step up to be like the stretch forward that Monaco has been needed for a lot of time, then okay, we're talking about probably a home court contender for the playoffs. Otherwise, despite Mike James being MVP at the moment, probably one of the candidates, I don't see Monaco, you know, staying hot for the remainder of the season. Yes, they won four straight, but they face some opponents with adversities, at least.
And, you know, that's the thing with Mike James. Opposing defenses throw all sorts of defenses against him. They throw him many players, they throw him double teams, different schedules, different strategies, triple teams sometimes.
Yeah.
And he takes care of the ball exceedingly well. But apart from Mike James, I see, for example, you talked about the big men. Corneli delivers 4 points per game. Jete delivers 2.2 points per game. He doesn't even play much, Mamzete. I don't know why. 5 points, 30 seconds as an average. Donta Hall, only 4.5 per game. Donatas Motiejunas, 6.3 per game. So there's not much of a diversity on the offense of Monaco. It's a simple thing. If the guards do not produce, there's Mike James, there's Alpha Diallo, Elio Kobo gives them some stuff, but they don't get anything on offense from the big men. I know that these guys take care of business on the defensive end, especially Donta Hall, but maybe they need an extra boost. Maybe Jordan Lloyd delivers. He's not a big man, of course, but maybe Jordan Lloyd will add this extra dimension to Monaco's offensive game, even though this this extra dimension, this extra production doesn't come from the front line.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the thing. Monaco needs another option on offense other than Mike, and Jordan Lloyd can be the solution. Kemba Walker didn't play against Milano. Sasha Obradovic said in the post-game press conference that it's nothing serious. So let's see if he plays against Asvel. And talking about Asvel, finally a win. After 9 months, like 18 loss, like run, it was incredible.
It has been too long.
Yeah, exactly. And finally they won, and they won on the road. They won by coming back in the fourth quarter against Žalgiris, one of the toughest home courts where to play in the EuroLeague. And finally, we're seeing something out of these players. These players seem dead with TJ Parker, with all due respect. But yeah, they seem dead. And now,
wow, you're being way too harsh on this, Cesare.
Well, it's
you're not holding anything back. I like it.
It is what it is. And I'm not biased because Poz is Italian. It's just that Poz is bringing...
You are biased. You're saying this because Poz is there and Poz is doing his own thing. He delivers his own time. So I think maybe you are very happy seeing Pozeko in EuroLeague as a head coach. Okay,
pointing,
and I'm cutting the parenthesis now.
He's pointing a gun now at me. No, joking aside, like Pozeko at least is bringing some spark, you know, like some emotional spark.
Not only a spark, an explosion.
Explosion. And that's what they needed. And it was great seeing actually Timote Luau Cabarro playing that well, shooting, like both being efficient both from two and both at the line. He basically gave Asbel the victory in the final section of the game, also grabbing that defensive rebound. So I like it. I like it because now Asbel at least is a team that is fighting, you know. And Pozeko, of course, we know him. It was very cool to understand what was the, you know, the communication between him and Paris Lee, with Paris Lee telling him, no, let the guys play. And Pozeko didn't put him on the court. It's the same thing that happened actually with Gigi Datome on his last game in Manila in the World Cup. He said, Gigi, come out. And Gigi was like, no, the guys need to win this one, need to win this one. But of course, it was another story with his retirement. But yeah, I like what Pozeko is bringing, and hopefully we'll see a good one with Monaco against Asvel.
I don't know if Asvel is going to put something, the same thing that they did in Kaunas against Žalgiris. To be honest, okay, I know how you like Poz, but I won't say so, but I would be really surprised if they manage to leave Monaco with a win. Let's say that both teams lost. That's something to mention. Both teams lost in France this week in the French league. You know, Limoges beat Asvel 79-68. And then we also had Monaco losing its own game. Monaco lost to Nancy 94-86. Was defense the factor for Monaco or Nancy's offense, whatever you might call it? I don't really see Monaco, let's face it, it is the superior team. Okay, Pozeko, maybe he rejuvenates the entire Asvel team, rejuvenates the players, you know, brings that spark, as you said, and takes the maximum out of them, the maximum that they can deliver right now, because he still has a lot of work to do, especially on the tactics department, because it's one thing to come on the team every time. It's a cliche, but it's true. Every time that there's a coaching change on a team, this team on the next game, on the first game of the new coach, they play better. They play with an extra motivation.
Yeah,
they play with an extra energy. They try to bring things on the court, also because they want to make a statement that there's nothing wrong with us as well. We can play our game. We can win games. We saw that happening, for example, last week with Baskonia against Partizan in the debut of Dusko Ivanovic, where they managed to beat in the debut, the third. I have lost count in his return to Baskonia. Partizan, thanks to Tsima Moneke, as we talked before, they managed to get Baskonia managed to get the win over Partizan. But it will be an interesting game to see, and we will see if the problems that you mentioned that Monaco has are in a way exposed buy as well and pause. On my part, I expect, for example, Jordan Lloyd to play much better because he had a really solid debut in the French league, the season debut, because he was coming off a back surgery. And he needs some time to adapt in EuroLeague, which is a completely different case than the French league. So I expect him to be better. And Jordan Lewis has been, the ace on Sasa Obradovic's sleeve also last year. Every time there was a problem on offense, every night that those nights that Mike James couldn't find his way to the basket or couldn't deliver assists to his teammates or couldn't generate buckets as well as he usually does, Jordan Lloyd gave that solution, unlocked the offense of Monaco and was a pivotal factor in many wins. So that's it, Cesare.
I was just about to say that my third game of the week would be Partizan against Fener, because Partizan at the moment is one of the best team for offensive rating. They produce 118.3 points over 100 possession, slightly behind Virtus Bologna. It's gonna be interesting to see how they bounce back after the defeat in Vitoria, and also it's always interesting to see the showdown between Jelico, the mastermind, and the student Dimitri Sitoudis, who turned as well into a mastermind. And Fenerbahce actually is 5-1 in the standings, one of the best teams so far in the EuroLeague. I don't know if that 5-1 is actually true in a way, like if they're actually a team that you see them and you feel like it's one of
the best. Well, it is true because it is there in the standings.
it's in the standings, but just like I said with Monaco, probably they face some opponents with adversities, with some difficult moments, and they took advantage of that, of course. One of the things that I like the most so far for Fener is Papagiannis' run from three-point range is being delivering so far. And
9 out of 12 in the EuroLeague, and clutch three-pointers in the close win against Olympiakos last week.
Exactly. And talking about Olympiakos, do you see Olympiakos game against Baskonia as one of the games of the week, or do you feel another way?
Definitely not. I honestly expect, I wouldn't say expect a reaction, because we saw a reaction by Olympiakos at Fenerbahce. They were down by 16 points, and if they made some things different in the last seconds, I'm not going to talk about the foul of Nigel Williams-Goss. Yeah. Nigel Williams-Goss, for example, he could have hit the floater, the ball could have go in. Nikola Milutinov could have dunked the ball in this last second, and maybe the game would go to overtime. Of course, Fenerbahce could have taken care of business earlier and not let the game be decided in the very last seconds, and with an Olympiakos possession after a decision by the referees that caused some controversy for Fenerbahce. At least they switched possessions in an out-of-bounds play. But regardless of that, I feel that Olympiakos in Piraeus, Olympiakos at CEF, they are a different team than on the road. They beat Efes relatively easily before their game against Fenerbahce. Of course, they lost to Panathinaikos in the Greek League. But in EuroLeague, they also beat Partizan Belgrade. That was tough. It was an overtime win. But I think that Olympiakos, I don't feel that Baskonia can be a match for Olympiakos right now. Olympiakos, in theory, at least, they are improving a bit by bit in each game. If you take the Panathinaikos game out of the equation, they are playing a bit better. They played, for example, better against Efes than they played in their previous game. They played the second half against Fenerbahce, especially in the third period. They played some of their best basketball, if not their best basketball, this season. Of course, you don't win games by playing spectacular basketball for 10 minutes. You can play spectacular basketball for 30 minutes and then lose the game. We have seen it many times in the past. And I don't think that Baskonia will be the team that will stop Olympiakos in Piraeus. Okay, they have the coaching change. Okay, they beat Partizan. But I think that Olympiacos will get the win, and it won't be much trouble for them. Of course, Olympiacos, if they get the win, they are 3-3 now, and they will be 4-3. That's not a bad record at all. No. Even the 3-3 is not a bad record. Okay, the 4-3 is a winning record, so of course it's not a bad record. But 3 wins, 3 losses, considering the schedule of Olympiacos, because they faced Fenerbahce on the road, they faced Milan on the road, they faced Panathinaikos on the road and won. They faced Barcelona at home. They faced Partizan at home. They didn't have any kind of easy games.
Yeah.
Let's say it like that. Every game they had was at least against a playoff contender. And most games they had were against the Final Four contenders. Because, let's face it, Fenerbahce, Efes, it doesn't matter that Efes has a problem right now. It is a Final Four contending team. Fenerbahce, Efes, I would say even Partizan, definitely Milano and Barcelona are Final Four contending teams. Panathinaikos is a team that was built to make the Final Four. Okay, Ergin Ataman might say that our goal, our first goal, our initial goal is to make the playoffs, but this is a team that was built to go all the way to the top. So the problem with Olympiacos is not that they don't get results. It's not so much about results at this moment. It's that the quality of basketball that they play is lackluster. It's not the same as last season. They have a poor offense. They win most of their games from defense. And the problem for Olympiacos is something similar. I will use the same word that I used with Monaco. They don't have a dimension. They don't have too many dimensions of their offensive game. If, for example, a player like Thomas Wokap plays bad, the one exception of this was against Fenerbahce, but if Thomas Wokap, for example, plays bad, then the whole Olympiacos offense seems problematic. All the other players of Olympiacos must play a perfect game in order to have a winning chance, because we saw, for example, in Fenerbahce that Isaiah Kanna played well, Alec Peters played well, and we had to. This comes from the starting five of Olympiacos, because there are a few solutions at the bench. Zach McKissick is injured, and that was the kind of player that was coming off the bench last season. I'm not even discussing about the absences and the players like Sasa Vezekopok or Kostas Lukas who are out. I'm taking them out of the equation. But Zach McKissick is the kind of player that last season was coming off the bench. He was giving a major boost, and we even saw him winning some games for Olympiacos, like the one against Virtus. He had probably his best performance last season. I'm not saying that Olympiacos would be a completely different team with Zach McKissick on board. We don't know yet when he will be ready to return to action. But he is the kind of player that Olympiacos lacks at the moment. A slasher who can attack the basket, who can make the opposing defense collapse, who can attract the double team from the opposing defense and enable some of his teammates to be more open.
Do you believe that Kendrick Nunn will be the guy turning Panathinaikos on the way, like turning the team on?
Well, he definitely has the tools for that. You're switching the discussion to Panathinaikos. Well, he definitely has the tools for that. I will be interested. I will be very interested to see how Panathinaikos is a team that is still looking to build the chemistry right now, and is still looking to build chemistry with the current roster. That it's a completely fresh roster, a completely revamped roster in comparison to the previous season. So a new player comes, it becomes even more difficult to find this chemistry. Chemistry in basketball is a delicate situation. You know, we use chemistry as a cliche, but it's true. In basketball is chemistry. You might take one ingredient in, some doses of the other ingredient out, and you might get a completely different result. Panathinaikos, I don't know if they needed this kind of player. Maybe they felt that they needed this kind of player, because there's also the injury of Ioannis Papapetrou. Yeah. They sure need some offense. The offense of Panathinaikos doesn't work that well. There are some players who haven't adapted so well also in the EuroLeague so far and might need some time, but Panathinaikos needs results. And they got a player who In my opinion, we might see him in he's a versatile guard. We might see him in lineups with three guards. He's a strong defender. He's a tall guard. And in theory, he will provide the solutions to Panathinaikos. He has his style is such that he may not need a lot of time to adapt in the EuroLeague, but that's always tricky because we have seen in the past NBA players that we've seen them and we were telling ourselves, oh, this guy is perfect for the EuroLeague game. His game is the ideal for the EuroLeague game. And then this guy comes and doesn't produce, he doesn't adjust well.
Yeah.
And in the end, he leaves his team without producing what was required for him. I don't really know what will happen with Kendrick Nunn. I know that Panathinaikos right now, considering that they haven't managed to find the necessary chemistry, of course, it's still early. We don't expect Panathinaikos to play basketball like the Harlem Globetrotters. It's still early for such a new team. That would have been a freak. But Kendrick Nunn is a kind of player that, you know, if he clicks on the team, if he manages to adjust to the team, then he will bring something completely new. He will completely refresh the offense of Panathinaikos. Obviously, again, Ataman ideally would like for Kendrick Nunn to be on the not only on the roster, to be on the active roster for the game against Alba Berlin, because this is a must-win game for Panathinaikos. They are 2-4 in EuroLeague right now. They come from it wasn't a blowout loss in the end against Barcelona, but that was because of specific circumstances. The four period, Barcelona, Roger Grimau put on the reserves in, and Barcelona players relaxed a bit. The substitutes of Panathinaikos were really motivated to play, and they didn't stop playing. Credit to them for that. I'm talking about players like Dimitris Moraitis, for example, the Greek guard. But it was a match that Barcelona won easily, eventually, against Panathinaikos. So Panathinaikos will also want to react not only with a win, but with a good, solid performance. Because they really need that right now. We'll see about Kendrick Nunn. In my opinion, it will be very difficult, unlikely for him to play immediately, having arrived in Athens only a couple of days, having, I don't know how ready will be to fully attend the practices. He will have to pass his medical first, then they will see about his physical situation because he hasn't played since the previous season. So this is a question mark. Anyway, that's a wrap, Cesare. Yeah, for today, I think.
Yeah.
Rob, on our discussion about the upcoming EuroLeague round, we have the double game week next week from next now. Week. The double round. Yeah, the double round week. The games in Greece, we like to call it the week of death or something like that. We like to be being dramatic. No, the week of the devil or something like that. We like being dramatic in our descriptions. So to all of our viewers, thank you for attending and watching another version of the EuroHoopod, the second for this season. You can also find us on Spotify if you prefer listening and not watching. From Cesare Miladi, Cesare, adios, and have a nice trip back home.
Ciao. Ciao, ragazzi.
And from Adonis Stokilakis, farewell, and stay tuned at EuroHoops.net. Bye-bye.
See you.